425. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. Beautiful right now, but yesterday at this time it was beautiful, and I don't have to tell you what happened late afternoon or evening. Right now, the weather folks are not talking about any storm activity today. Pardon me if I'm a little bit doubtful after yesterday's missed forecast. We'll see what develops. We'll keep an eye on the radar for you. Hope we don't get any more. Boy, we sure got dumped on yesterday. City Hall on the first portion of our program today, and we welcome two guests. The mayor of the city of Butler is with us, Mayor Ben Smith. Mayor, good to see you.
You too.
And City Councilman Jeff Smith also here today. Jeff, good to see you.
Good to see you.
City Hall always follows a regular meeting of Butler City Council. Council met last night, took care of quite a few big bits of business, including awarding a contract for new street lighting on Main Street downtown, Mayor.
That's right, yeah. That's exciting.
Well, I had more than one person ask me, well, what's the deal? Don't we already have street lights downtown? They look to be okay. How come we're replacing them?
We do have street lights downtown, and if we could have kept them, I would have been happy to do so. They're aged. Some of them are not quite safe that we've removed recently, and others that we know are going to have to be removed soon. Plus, it'll make the city look a little nicer. Mm-hmm. A lot of the wiring is going to be going underground, and you'll see a different type of street light that's going to cast more light on not only the streets but the sidewalks. So looking at safety on a couple different fronts. And then, yeah, the aesthetic pleasure of it is always nice. But the main drive to do it was the street lights are just in a condition that we're going to be forced to replace them sooner than later. So we need to get ahead of it because some of them are already deteriorating.
And, of course, the lights that are there are, I don't want to say old-fashioned, but we've had a lot of new developments like LED lighting. That certainly is going to be brighter, I would imagine, than the mercury vapor or whatever those things are now.
Yeah, some of the streetlights were a couple of years ago changed over to LED, which has, of course, saved the taxpayers a lot of money as far as the that goes. But so these new lights will also be LED, but they'll be different in a lot of different ways, and yeah, they'll just cast more light in general.
Any special design, or is it just a standard pole and a light, you know?
It's a nice-looking design. It's nothing terribly fancy or anything, but they'll have one street light that goes up and over the street, and then another light that comes out over the sidewalk a little bit.
Oh, that's
and then
nice.
We'll also see the Ballard lights return, and those are the short ones that are maybe 3 or 4 feet tall that sit between every light pole or so that the sidewalk's even more illuminated. So it'll definitely brighten up Main Street at night and, make it a lot more. I love walking around Main Street at night. It's perfectly fine. I'm happy to be out on the town, but a lot of people, haven't made it downtown in a couple of years or a little while, and just to be able to see more clearly at night is always a good thing.
If anybody remembers what the design looked like that the Butler Downtown Group had put together.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the light fixtures, but they have an addition for the banners that are put up.
Mm-hmm.
And, the banners have been put up sort of with PVC pipe holders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These light posts actually have places for those to attach to, so they should be a little more sturdy.
These are the honoring the veterans? Those
correct.
Banners, what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot those are on the light poles now.
They are, yeah. Yeah, and they'll have the ability, for us to mount other signs to them, and like Jeff said, the banners, and they'll just be a nice upgrade overall.
Do we know, and you guys may not know, will they be in exactly the same place where all the light poles are now?
Pretty much. There's a few that'll change around a little bit, but for the most part, they're all going to be, within a reasonable distance of where the other ones were, so, yeah.
There's a dark spot on Main Street,
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where's that?
Down in front of Fisher's Auto Repair.
Yes, there is. I agree.
There's like a missing light in there or something.
I spoke with with the power company about that recently, actually. We kind of said that we'd wait until this project. We saw exactly, this was probably 4 or 5 months ago now, wait and see where this project was going before we were able to really make a decision on that. But, yeah, they're aware of it.
The only reason I'm aware of it is because of the Spirit of Christmas Parade.
Yes,
Radio stations have sponsored now for many, many years, and that's where...
You start kind of down there in the dark.
Yeah, and that's where we set up the judging platform, and It's pitch dark right in there.
Yeah, yep, I agree with you.
Wow, interesting. A lot of folks probably didn't realize that the city was responsible for those lights. I don't know, maybe they thought the West Bend Power or something did it. No.
Yeah, it's the city.
And the city has to pay for the electricity, too, to operate those lights, right?
The electricity and the infrastructure and everything involved with it, yeah. They just supply the electricity.
The contract was awarded by City Council last night. It's a big project. It's like $1.3 million.
It is, yeah. It's a very big project. It includes not only the actual physical lights, but also some different parts of the sidewalk are going to be changed around and repaired. And then all the wiring that goes overhead, the electric and everything that goes overhead, will be run on the conduit underneath the ground. So it'll be nice because, one, it opens up a lot of that space above the ground that people will be able to see more clearly for further, but it also makes it safer because, there's always the possibility in a windstorm or something a wire could come down or anything like that. So this will just help with everything overall.
Won't have to worry about cutting the trees back either, because they're a really nice beautification effort along Main Street, and every so often you had to cut them way back because They were starting to grow up into the wires.
Yeah, that's something PennDOT actually has done in the past, was they'll just come along and any of their signs or anything where the trees are in the way. So that's still, the trees may still be occasionally trimmed by PennDOT or the City Shade Tree Commission or something like that. But as far as getting into wires or anything, yeah, we shouldn't have that problem anymore.
What about those, and neither one of you are on City Council when this happened, but they had for a while those lower street lights, those decorative lights downtown, what I'm talking about?
The big bulbs on them?
Yeah, yeah. And a couple of them started to fall over.
Yeah.
One down by the post office fell over and somewhere else, and the city took them all down for fear that they were going to hurt somebody.
Yeah, those are gone. The city sold those last year sometime. Mm-hmm. They didn't go for very much, if I recall correctly, but they're not city property anymore. But
I was just wondering, because the bases are still there,
Yep.
And those will go away.
Those will go away, too?
I think that's where you're going to see a lot of the bollards. Like the 3-4 foot high.
Ah, I see.
Street level lights.
Boy, I'm anxious to see this. This is going to be pretty nice.
It should be. It should look very nice.
Yeah, it's a bigger project than just replacing those Cobra lights with new Cobra lights.
Mm-hmm.
These will be decorative like the old ones that they took down.
I always thought the city got jobbed on that deal. They put those things up. They weren't that old.
Yeah. Right.
They weren't even, I'm sure they weren't 20 years old.
Right.
And the poles started to rust and fall over. Wow. They got it gone after whoever they bought those poles from. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah.
And, people said, well, they're outdoor lights. They're going to be rust, which not going to be rusting away that fast.
I know, it's disappointing. But I think that the new street lights and the way they're, the design of them, and then also the fact that the wiring's moving is going to kind of bring back a more authentic downtown feel to Main Street.
Still going to be able to put the Christmas lights up on those poles?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. They'll have the ability to do that
Christmas
for sure.
Time?
Mm-hmm.
Probably have plug-in sockets.
They will have sockets on them too, yep. Yeah. So, and hopefully they'll all work. Sometimes obviously you're always going to have repairs no matter how new something is, but we're frequently, going and fixing the outlets on the current lights that we have. So this will help, everything will be refreshed and new.
This will not affect traffic signals. I mean, in the old days, traffic signals were attached to many times to streetlight poles, but they're not anymore. They all have their independent stanchions now.
I think with an exception of maybe one or two.
A couple of the Cobra lights that are on the streetlights, they're going to stay there because I'm talking to the engineer, probably in the next few years, we're going to have to replace the streetlight
Traffic signals.
Yeah, the traffic signal structures. And when we do that, then we'll just roll in the new lighting on those. So, yeah, those will remain as is.
Well, PennDOT has to pay for those, don't they? Get new traffic signal poles?
I don't think so. Not entirely.
Really?
Least,
we wish.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Because, the newer design is that they kind of hang across the street.
Right.
It's kind of an L-shaped
They're more streamlined.
Yeah,
that's... No, PennDOT doesn't do that either.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yep.
But they give us lots of help in the guidelines of what they will look like.
Guidelines. They tell you what they want to do.
Right.
You pay for it.
They tell you how to spend your money. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm anxious to see that. That's going to look fantastic. Any timeline on this?
So I think the bid was approved last night. I don't know exactly what's happening today, but there's already things happening today. I know they were going to call like the one wire and do all the everything. I mean, everything's been mapped out and researched, and we know exactly where things have to go, but they have to make sure that they get approval from all the various utility agencies and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, the streetlights will be ordered promptly. Those will take a little while to come in, but while those are on order, some of the sidewalks that need replaced, and in order to put that conduit in, will be done. And then when the streetlights come in, those will go up. And they're saying probably like January, February. I, of course, always say I'm not holding my breath that it's going to be on time with weather and everything, nothing's ever on time, especially this year.
Yeah.
But we should see something by early next year it completed.
Hey, and a local company got the contract, so that's even
right.
Better.
Huh? The company we've worked with before is the city, too, so it's good.
Yeah. Bronder out of, I think, out of Prospect, aren't they?
I couldn't tell you that, but they are local, I know that.
Bronder Technical Services,
yeah.
Well, anyway, that's a pretty good deal. Now, something else that happened last night at the Butler City Council, members of council approved the purchase of 4 license plate reader cameras. And you know what the first thing people think about when they hear those going up downtown? When are you going to try to get me for going through a red light or something like that? Because that's about the only thing you hear, other than on the turnpike where they use them when you're paying tolls.
Right.
Not going to be for traffic enforcement, though, Jeff Smith.
No, and we actually, the chief gave a great explanation of what they were and how they would work. And then we asked him to repeat that they would not be used to issue tickets.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fascinating. I mean, one of the things Chief O'Neill said that, it was probably the biggest advancement in crime work since they put laptop computers in cars.
Mm.
Because what these cameras will do on a couple intersections, they will monitor who's going through. And there's, I guess, a whole network in Western Pennsylvania. Different cities have them. Huge database. So that when they're investigating a crime, they can't just go in and, hey, I'm going to see where my neighbor went last week. They have to tell the state what the purpose is that they're going in to look for. But, they can go in and see where, if they have a suspect, has that suspect been in the area? If there's multiple robberies, say, they can see that, hey, this car was there close to the time, was there. He seemed really excited about the ability in terms of fighting crime, hit and runs. If there's a hit and run on Main Street where somebody's got their car parked and somebody brushes it, that's the sort of thing they'd be able to identify who the offender was.
We've certainly seen the great help that surveillance cameras are for crime, and we see that all the time on the news nowadays. These are even more amazing. They can read people's license plates.
Yeah, and just to further clarify what Jeff was saying is that they can't. The officers aren't going to be able to just sit there and look through all the pictures of all the cars that came through and just see if they see anything goofy or out of place.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to have an actual, it's almost like a search warrant, an authorization to go in and search for a very specific thing. So they can't just say, I want to find out who came through this light between noon and one and see if I can find that guy that ran a red light or, you know, something. They have to say, like, okay, it's license plate, you know, XYZ, whatever. And then that pulls it up. And that's all logged, and the state sees that and audits it, just like they do background checks and things like that. You know, the officers can't just run a background check on anybody they want. They have to have a legitimate lawful reason. And so that's the same thing with this. So, yeah. Obviously, I want people to have their inspections and their – oh, I don't really care about inspections. That's a different story that I won't even get into. But it's the law, so I want people to follow it. But, you know, stuff like that, that's not what they're going to be looking for. They're going to be looking for specific vehicles or individuals to try to find out where they've gone. And, you know, it's to catch bad guys, not to catch the soccer mom, you know, taking her kids to practice and has an expired plate or something like that. That's not what it's for.
Pretty high-tech stuff. Is this expensive, Mayor?
It's actually way more cost-effective than you would imagine. I mean, I think the four of them only cost $7,000 or $8,000. Fortunately, to the taxpayers, it doesn't cost us anything. This is all being done through grants from various entities, and then the district attorney's office is helping out as well. It'll cost about $2,000 a year to maintain them, mm-hmm. To keep the licenses and upgrades and everything, which we think we'll be able to get our portion of that, our half, through grants and everything that we've already basically had committed to us. And then the district attorney's office has also said in the future that they'll be able to do the $1,000 per year for the foreseeable future. So, yeah, we're looking at under $10,000. And, you know, if any of the police officers I've ever spoken to are to be believed, this is – it's a really good thing, you know, even something like an Amber Alert or, like Jeff said, a hit and run or anything like that. Like I said, we're not looking for people who just parked illegally. We're looking for people who are on the run, and we're trying to find where they've gone or where they've been.
Good stuff. People a lot more up to date on police work these days with some of the shows that are on TV. Have you seen any of those, like Live PD and so on?
No, you mentioned it a couple times. I've still never got a chance to watch it. I don't get to watch a whole lot of TV, so.
I don't binge on it, but every once in a while I'll stop for a couple of minutes and watch it. It's kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
City Hall here today. We're talking with two members, of Butler City Council. The mayor, under the city code, is also a member of council. Mayor Ben Smith is here, and a member of Butler City Council, Jeff Smith. What's new in the field of parks and recreation in the city of Butler, Jeff?
There was a couple things that we mentioned last evening. The one was, you know, we've talked about it before on here, about Rotary, the two Rotary groups in mm-hmm. town, and mm-hmm. and how much they've done for the parks, from redoing all the Butler Rotaries, Institute Hill, Southside. Just this past Sunday night, I was down at the dedication at Rotary Park with the new shelter that the Evening Rotary Group put up. And then Butler AM Rotary, you know, they've got their huge couple hundred thousand dollar project down at Memorial Park.
They're moving into the second phase of that project right now.
Well, what I told everybody at council last night, and this is something we talked about before, that, you know, the city pool's gone, not coming back. You know, we tried to start the summer swimming program through the playground program, where the city's paying the admission fees, and Grace Youth and Family, who runs our summer park program, they were going to try to figure out a way to get the kids out there. Well, the two Rotary groups got together and have provided the funding for the bus. So just, in, you know, which is great. That is when I talked to Bill Halley about doing this program, we said, well, we'll figure out how to get the kids there. You know, we didn't have a real hardcore way of doing it. Mm-hmm. It's sort of, you know, build it and they'll come. And sure enough, the Rotary guys came through. They wrote checks. So the Rotary bus has taken the kids to the pools.
That's great.
When we first announced it, I had people come up and say, well, it's a great idea, but, you know, you're not going to get more than four or five kids to go. But I think the first week they did it, it was a rainy day. I mean, every day was rainy back then. They had close to 20 people went on it. I think it's past week, second week, they had, I know that they're probably closer to 25 or more. I didn't get the exact count. So that program, and from what I've heard is the looks on some of those kids' faces who usually don't get to go to a pool very often, was just, it was priceless. They were so excited. So that's working out really well. You know, and we mentioned the big project down at Memorial Park is coming along. You know, it's the hassle for both your golf game and the parks guys is this rain.
Yeah.
You know, when it rains, it's you don't mow your grass. And they've had a devil of a time keeping up with that. You know, they had one area, they were going to mow it for 2 weeks, and it rained every day. They just couldn't get up to it.
But and even when it's not raining, the ground's just...
Well, yeah, so,
it's dangerous, I mean, really.
You know, you take like a place like Ritz Park with all those hills.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just because it's stopped raining, you don't want to take a tractor along some of those hills.
You have to bring the goats in like they did down in Cranberry.
You know, after I read that article, I looked into what the price was for those goats as a possible way of maybe clearing out some of that more wooded area in the park. So you may see goats here next year. Who knows?
Let's take a call. I think we have someone who has a question or a comment for our guest. Caller, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Yes,
thank you for taking my call.
Sure, just a second here. Why do I get...
Why
do I make
you when you don't take calls? Because I think it's so important for him to hear how his city people feel.
Go right ahead. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, I have a problem with a neighbor on the next street over. I've got their backyard is in the front of my house, and they've never cut grass, and it's about 4 foot high already. Of course, when you call the city building, I had to call 911, and I will tell you, I've called at least once a week for the last 2 months, and the last three times, city police don't even call back because they know why I'm calling. And I wonder if you could intervene in any way and come down. I'd be glad to call you at your office if I could get through to you and look at what I'm looking at every day from where my house is up to the next street. Nobody cuts grass, and it's awful. There's animals in there. There's raccoons in there. There's squirrels in there. There's groundhogs in there. I got bunny rabbits coming over every day from there, and nobody cares.
Well, I can assure you that I do care, but yeah, you mentioned about calling 911, and just for anybody listening, that is the correct procedure. I know it sounds silly, and you know we're working on some things to change that process potentially in the future, but if you do call 911, they're the ones who let the officers know. And I can tell you, just like Councilman Smith was talking about right before you came on, there have been a lot of calls, but... I'm sorry?
Yeah, I hate calling 911 to have a police officer come down there. We've been going desk and he should be back to the city building because of that.
Right, and just to let you know, if you call
up there and talk to them.
Okay, just let the mayor respond here.
Yeah, and if you call the city building, they're not able to do anything for you, so the correct procedure, I know it sounds kind of funny to us who are raised that thinking that 911 is only for emergencies, but 911 is more of a dispatch center now. They handle a lot of different multitude of calls. So if you call 911, they're able to dispatch the officers. And the officers have to use their discretion. You know, if they go out and it's a property that's obviously wet, things have been rainy this year and it can't be handled, then they're not going to penalize somebody because the weather that's out of their control has stopped them. If it's something that needs to be addressed and you're not even getting an officer response, and that's certainly something else. That's a different matter. I know that the officers, you know, get dozens of calls a week about high grass complaints, and of course, you know, chasing criminals takes priority over grass.
I agree.
That's just the reality. But so yeah, if you if you want to leave, I don't know if there's a screener. If you want to leave your address, I can check in with the police department, with the chief, and make sure that they're at least aware of it and that they can check it out. But I know it's only been this week that they've really been able to actually say, okay, you've had time to mow your grass without it being too wet. So it's certainly something that we want to...
Well, you know, everybody else can cut grass, you know. These people have never cut grass. And they moved in there in the springtime, and if you saw the backyard, like I told you, the grass is 4 foot high. It's so high now, it's fallen over. She could use some goats.
Okay.
There you go.
Hey, thanks for your call. Good to talk with
you
today. Thanks. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn with the mayor and Councilman Jeff Smith.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks. I hate to call and complain.
Okay.
I also have a problem with a neighbor.
Uh-huh.
I live in the city, and I park on a city street, and there's, like, steps to come up to my house. And I've lived in this house for 24 years, and, like, eight people have come and gone in the house next door. But these people completely block my staircase. And they have literally parked their back bumper up against my car. And I'm 64 years old, and I'm surprised they can even get my garbage half the time. Most of the time, there's a space that maybe I can get my leg through between our back bumpers. And I have taken pictures of this since, I have pictures since like 2011, but lately it has just gotten extremely worse.
Is this a courtesy issue, or you think they're breaking the law somehow, or what?
Well, it's a city street, and, you know, when you buy a house, you hope you have two parking spaces that go with your house. But they tell me their property line comes down over my city, the steps, and that they own that, and they are privileged to have those two spots. I said, I've lived here for all these years, and nobody has ever been so rude as to block my staircase so I can't use it to get up to my house.
Well, my guess is, I'm not the city solicitor, but I don't think anybody has a guaranteed parking spot in front of their house. Mayor, am I right on that?
Yeah, that's correct. And I would say that if you do think it's something that's infringing upon your property, or if they're parking on the sidewalk or something like that, then certainly you'd want to contact the police department to help you remedy that situation. But unfortunately, Dave is right. I mean, if it's a city street and they're parking on the street, there is no reserve parking other than perhaps if you have an accommodation for a handicap plate or something like that. So
well,
it certainly isn't.
I just wondered what the ordinance was for blocking the stairway. I mean, it's, you know, and it's on Wallula. The city street, you know, there's like on one side it's flat, the other we have a wall. But then there's stone steps that I assume are the city's that go with the street, and they completely park their car over it and block the whole staircase.
Well, I would encourage you, if you haven't reported it, I mean, it sounds like you've tried to ask them for courtesy, and that hasn't helped. If you wanted to alert the police department to it, I would encourage you to do that so they can come check it out. They would be able to look at it and tell you if it is indeed a city property that these individuals are blocking. And it may end up being that they are doing something incorrect, and it may end up being that it would be just a matter of courtesy. So I that's the correct action. I know you said you've been taking pictures for a long time, but I do think this is the first I've heard about it. So that'd be my advice for you.
And again, this is one... You probably should call 911, and then that way an officer will call you back, and
right,
you can talk to him.
Okay. And is there not a way that I could even put up a sign that says, please do not block stairs?
I mean, I wouldn't say you couldn't do that. I would just say it's probably not wise, since it's not legally enforceable for you to put up a sign. If it's just a matter of them not being willing to comply with your wishes, I don't know that the sign's going to help. If it's a matter of them not knowing, then certainly I would recommend you chat with them about it.
So there's like no ordinance on blocking stairs, like in case an ambulance had to come, or, you know, you can't even hardly bring groceries or furniture or have anything delivered because the stairway's blocked. And even if I move up further, they purposely block the whole staircase.
Yeah, without me looking at it or seeing it in front of me, it's hard for me to say. I don't think there's an ordinance as far as blocking stairs. But certainly, like I said, if you contact the police department, if you think it's an issue of law, they'd be able to help you out there.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Sure. The city of Butler will have fireworks, Mayor. That's good news from last night's meeting.
It's great news. Absolutely. Yeah, we had some local businesses and individuals step up and help support the fireworks for the city. So it's great news.
That'll be on the evening of the 4th?
That's correct, yes. Mm-hmm. It'll be on July 4th.
And they've set them off at Historic Pullman Park?
That's correct, yep, just like normal. I do want to give recognition, at least here on the radio, to the individuals who donated. We had Butler Downtown donated some money, the American Legion of West Sunbury, Krill Recycling, Gateway Engineering, Next Tier Bank. I'm trying, Jeff, do you know, they abbreviated this. I'm trying to remember who it is off the top of my head. PA American Water, that's right. And then Cloud9 Vapor out in the township also donated some money. So we were able to raise enough money. We'll have the full show this year like normal, at the same place as normal, at the same, I don't remember the exact time, but I think it's pretty much as soon as nightfall hits, mm-hmm. as soon as it's dark enough to really enjoy the fireworks, we'll be able to see.
And believe it or not, that's less than a week away. It's next Thursday.
When somebody said the other week, oh, fireworks next week. Or actually, I think it was one of my employees asked me if we were going to be open on July 4th, and I said no. And they said, okay, I just was trying to plan for next week. And I said, what do you mean next week? So
hard to believe.
It is, yeah.
Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Good to talk with you. Butler City Councilman Jeff Smith, the mayor of the city of Butler, Ben Smith, with us here today. We need to take a break. Our next guest is Kent Shoemaker from the Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes to talk with Kent right after these words.
Thinking about remodeling or refinancing your home? ARMCO Credit Union's new HELOC combines the flexibility of a traditional home equity line of credit with the low fixed rate of a home equity loan. Lock in different amounts, rates, and terms up to 20 years under one convenient loan agreement and monthly payment without the hassle of reapplying as your borrowing needs change. It's never been easier to join, so call or visit us at one of our locations or online at armcocu.com to become a member. ARMCO Credit Union is an equal housing lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
Butler Health System is the top 100 hospital for getting Doug back to playing with his grandkids and managing his farm.
For ensuring that Craig made it to his daughter's college graduation.
For helping Ray travel to Europe to visit his family.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide nationally recognized care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
Caring hands. Remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course. Also, emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available. Also, prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive.
You've lost a loved one. You feel alone. You think that no one really understands just how you feel, that it affects everything in your life every single day. Well, Thompson Miller Funeral Home in Butler offers a unique, sensitive program called Someone's Caring. It's carefully designed to help ease your pain and helps fill in the gaps when you feel so lonely. Men and women are invited to attend. Yes, more men are beginning to realize it's okay to express their feelings in a small group setting. They're finding it really helps. Over the last 20 years, we've developed a program that has helped so many people work through their grief. We offer 5 programs, a grief support group for those who have lost a loved one, for survivors of a suicide, for bereaved parents, and for those who have lost a pet, and individual sessions. Our own trained bereavement specialist, Robin S. Miller, personally conducts the sessions. Call us at Thompson Miller, 724-287-3706, 287-3706. We can help. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller, time-honored excellence.
Welcome back. It's the Friday edition. It's your turn here on WISR. Friday, June 28th. heading into the last couple of days of June, the last weekend in June. Kent Shoemaker is with us from the Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department. Has another year gone by already, Kent?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Here we are.
You guys are getting ready for the big mega cruise down there.
We are. It's Saturday, July 6th, so that's just 1 week from tomorrow.
That's right, week from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. So, yeah, that year went by fast, and we're looking forward to it. Last year was a fantastic year. So we had over 1,200 cars that came through, and we figure there's somewhere around 3,000 pedestrians came into the cruise. So that was great. It was wonderful.
Let's talk about this a little bit, the mega cruise. You've been doing this down at the Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department for several years now, right?
Yeah, this is the 19th year that we've done it, and so it's really grown. It's really become popular, and we're glad. It's a fundraiser, but not a very good fundraiser. It's more of a community event. It's the biggest event in Penn Township for the year. So it brings a lot of people. Plus, it gives people exposure to the airport, which I think is important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes place right at the airport, right?
Yes, at the new name, Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport. A lot of people know it as the Butler County Airport, just on Airport Road off of Route 8.
And is there admission to get in?
Well, show cars or show vehicles, including tractors, airplanes, trucks, motorcycles, you know, they get in free, you know. Some of those people will make a donation, but we certainly don't require that. They're the show, and we thank them for coming. People are walking into the show to see the cars and enjoy the evening with all the other festivities going on. We ask a $2 donation, and that's just to help the fire department out, help curtail some of the costs of the event, and also to help us with our training, new equipment, and repairing equipment.
Yeah. A lot of upkeep in a fire department in a year's time.
Sure is. You're right. We're not with the firefighting apparatus, but all the other equipment that goes with it.
So is anybody welcome to bring their cruise car or their cruise vehicle down?
Yeah, anybody's welcome to come. Like I said, if you have an antique classic car or what do they call them, rat rods, anything like we've had a lot of interesting things come in. You know, we've had everything from Model T's to brand new muscle cars and everything in between. And we've had tractors and plus the airplanes are taking off and landing, you know, while the show's going on. That's always fun to watch. We get a lot of motorcycles, but we get several motorcycles. We welcome any of those motorcycles to come in. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting things. Person brought in a car with an airplane engine attached to it. I'm glad it stayed on a trailer, though, so we were glad about that.
Where do the cruise cars line up? Are they actually inside the fence?
Well, yes, and that's interesting. And the airport, it's great to work with the airport authority and Ike Kelly, who's the manager out there. And so we open the gates. Well, we tell show cars that we'll open the gates at noon. They can come in. However, it never fails. I'll arrive at the fire station earlier each year. It will be 8 o'clock in the morning. I say, you better get up to the airport. There's cars up there already. So a lot of people know their spot and where they want to be, you know, so they get there early. But, yeah, between the initial hangars, the old airport hangars, the original ones, all the way up to the restaurant, that whole tarmac is used to park cars. And if we cross our fingers and maybe say a few prayers for good weather, we can go double it by going out into the grass. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like that. It just gets them off the pavement.
Yeah.
So anyways, yeah, we formed several rows, double rows going out through there. And like I said, last year we had 1,200 cars. And the manager up there, Chuck, he rode out with me. He says, you know what? We can only put about 5 more cars out here in the grass. He says, we can't go any further. It starts to drop down over hill. And he said, there's boulders in there. I said, oh, boy. And, you know, it was like that's just when the tide turn. You know, like some people were leaving and other people were coming in and filling the empty spots, and we never had to worry about that. But it was a full house.
There's a lot of space there for for anybody who was out to the airport last summer when they had the World War II era planes in.
Yeah.
Had a couple of big bombers. Actually, had three big bombers in there. Two real monsters and a fighter jet and some other stuff.
Right.
That's where we're talking about, where those planes were parked. That's the tarmac that Kent's talking about.
Right. Right. Yes, that's exactly right. And those planes are coming back this year, which is
Which
is great. I believe it's in August sometime. So I've seen them 100 times, and I'd like to see them another 100 times.
Oh, same with me. Yeah, same with me. And by the way, there will be some planes probably flying in for the Mega Cruise, right?
Oh, yeah. We've flown to different airports and put flyers up. So it's a nice destination for pilots just to fly in somewhere and see and be entertained and get a meal. And it gives them a nice destination, nice activity.
Pilots like to do this, whether on small scale or large scale, like Oshkosh, probably be the biggest one of all, right?
Oh, that's the granddaddy of them all, yes.
That's in Wisconsin. Have you ever flown up there, Ken?
I've never flown. But you know what? I put a bus trip together every year, and anybody that wants to go can join me on the bus trip. And this is our 30th year to do it, so I've been up here for the past 30 years. And I never grow tired of it. And my wife is not a fan of airplanes, but she enjoys going to Oshkosh. So if you ever get a chance to go, take it. It's worth it.
That's a pretty long haul up there, isn't it?
About 12 hours, yeah. Yeah.
Actually, I thought it was longer than that. That's not too bad. I've done 12. No. That's about the same time it takes you to drive to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Yeah. We leave in the morning at 7 o'clock from the Butler Farm Show, and we end up getting there after stops and everything and dinner and all that. We get there around 8 o'clock, a little town called Ripon, Wisconsin. You know, and that's where we stay, the Ripon College dorms.
Mm-hmm.
And we go out to the air show each day for the next 3 days. But it's great. And they can have a little taste of that at the car cruise, because the Butler Airport is really, really got – it's always had a nice amount of planes taking off and landing, but it's gotten really busy lately. They have that school up there, mm-hmm. and I believe they have 10 airplanes now. They're flying all the time. You got jets coming in, and the Life Flight helicopter. So it adds to the excitement of the car cruise.
I will never lose my fascination with watching planes land and take off. I can remember the first time I ever saw that. I was a little kid at the old they called it Greater Pittsburgh International Airport. And they actually had an area there where you could watch planes coming in and taking off.
Viewing deck. Yes.
And they built a new airport, and you can't see anything. No viewing deck.
Right.
Although I understand they're talking about renovating that and tearing part of that new airport down, and there's supposed to be a viewing area in the new design, which would be nice.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
It would be nice to go out there and just watch planes take off and land.
We're talking about the Mega Cruise that takes place. This is an event that the Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department has been sponsoring for almost
20 years. This is year 19. Yeah.
And it's a week from tomorrow, Saturday, July 6th. What are the hours for it, Ken?
Well, like we said, the gates technically open at noon, but cars come in earlier than that. The gates open for pedestrians at 1 p.m., and again, we do ask, if you're coming in, if you'd make a $2 donation, you know, to the fire department. Then it runs all afternoon, all through the evening, and we actually have fireworks at the end of the event at 9:45.
All right. What else during the day other than looking at the cruise cars and the trucks and the planes?
Well, we have Phil Lenz, who's been a DJ for a long time, and he does a great job. He'll be there all day, and he'll be playing that cruising music, and so that's a lot of fun. We'll also have karaoke in the hangar in the evening. There's going to be a 50-50 drawing. In the last few years, somebody always goes home with a nice amount of cash, and I feel good for them and feel bad for all the people that didn't win. But and I'll tell you, the food is great. You know, there'll be quite a few food vendors there. So that in itself, I think some people just come over to eat. You know, and that's okay. And we have a great Chinese auction. Some just terrific baskets. So all that, you know, going on. And so just come on over. You know, even if you don't have a big interest in cars. I love it, especially in the evening. It cools down a little bit, and I see people by the thousands just strolling among the cars and enjoying themselves, and they feel so relaxed. And I just say that's great. It's wonderful.
And you're helping a good cause, helping to fund the operations of the Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department for really a token donation, $2.
Right.
You know,
right.
$2. This all takes place a week from tomorrow, Saturday, July 6th, rain or shine. We hope for shine, but if it's a little drizzle, you still go.
Right, you still go. There's still things going on.
Fireworks shortly after dusk. That's perfect timing because you're just 2 days past the 4th of July.
Right. It's our event's getting close to the 4th. I don't know. Next year, we might have to back it off a week because it... 4th of July be right on top of it. So
that's right, yeah.
So we're guessing at this point we'll move it back a week, which you got to do every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Trying to think next year. I think next year is a leap year, so 4th of July will jump 2 days. I think it'll be Saturday next year.
We'll definitely probably move it to the week behind it.
Mm-hmm. Talking about the mega cruise, you have some sponsors. I know some of them have been helping you out to put this on for quite a few years, Kent.
That's for sure. And like almost all 19 years, you know, as some of these people have been around, and you know, fireworks are extremely expensive, and so we really appreciate Honda North jumps in there and helps us out, along with Deal Automotive. Tom Henry Chevrolet, he isn't even in Penn Township, and he's helped us every year. And by the way, some of those dealerships bring up some of their hot-looking cars. So, I understand that, and I don't know, they're going to try to bring the new Jeep pickup truck up. That would be Deals, so we're hoping that happens. And then the Hardwoods always helped us out. You know, the thing about, you know, I'm thanking those people for helping us, but they do so much for the communities, and a lot of the businesses in Butler County, and sometimes you almost feel bad asking them, but we have several that have sponsored in our sponsors booklet, which we'll be giving out to the like first 620 cars that come through, along with dash plaques. But there's a lot of sponsors in there, too, that I hope people take time to look at them. So not only do they help us, the Penn Township Fire Department, they also help a lot of other organizations in the community. So, boy, you just can't thank them enough.
We'll take a break. We'll talk more with Ken Shoemaker about the Mega Cruise, sponsored by the Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department, coming up on Saturday, July 6th. One of our sponsors on the program today is Miller Shoes. Miller Shoes at 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Headquarters for summer shoes of all types. Need a new pair of athletic shoes? At Miller's, you'll find them for men, women, teens, kids, everybody in the family. And they have all your famous name brands, too, right there under one roof. Nike, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, ProPath. They got them all. Miller's Shoes. Also, always hundreds of pairs of men's and ladies' shoes on sale, on racks for easy browsing. And they're your local headquarters for SAS Comfort Shoes, made in the U.S. Not too many shoes made in the U.S. anymore, but SAS, made right here. They also have sandals, SAS Comfort Sandals, in a variety of styles and colors. They're just as comfortable as the SAS shoes. Why not try on a pair or two? Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler, for 126 years. Boy, that's tradition, that's for sure. Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street, downtown. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Welcome back. I was talking planes during the break there with our guest, Kent Shoemaker, who is a pilot, by the way.
Yep, yeah.
And you've had a couple of planes down through the years. Yeah. I was just talking with Kent. I was looking on YouTube a few days ago. Well, there's so much stuff on YouTube. It's unbelievable.
Anything you want.
Anything. But there was this thing popped up that said, how to fly a DC-3, which is an old two-engine plane. They were a workhorse in World War II. Actually, designed even before that in the 1930s. It's hard to believe that a plane that old is still not only working, but they're used even commercially.
That's true. I mean, they retrofit them out at Oshkosh the airfield there. There's a company that will reset them with turbo engines, and they keep flying them. They have one in Franklin that they're restoring right now, and it sat for 25-30 years at an airport off to the side, and a group up there went out and they got it ready and got a transport permit, flew it to Franklin, and so now they're restoring. They took the wings off it. Just talked with a gentleman yesterday, and he showed me a piece of aluminum that came out of the wing, mm-hmm. and it's just peeling and flaking away. It's disintegrating, and he has a brand new piece that exactly matches it. Of course, they got to do a lot of fabricating too, but he says that they're going over the whole thing, and this will fly another 100 years.
Wow. There's a show on TV, one of the cable channels, and I don't know the channel offhand, but it's called Icy Air or something like that. It's this company that flies
Buffalo Air.
Freight. Buffalo Air, that's yes. what it is. They fly freight in, I don't know, Alaska or
right.
somewhere in the Arctic. And that's, their planes are all DC-3s.
I think I've watched every episode of that. It's a great program. Ice Pilots.
That's what it is.
Yes.
Thank you. I couldn't think of it. Yeah, I've always been fascinated by flight. Watching planes take off, watching planes land, flying.
I've flown for 40 some years now, and it still fascinates me to see a plane take off, especially some of these giant planes.
It
seems to defy everything, but it works.
Do you fly commercially?
No, I have a commercial license, but I pretty much fly just for enjoyment.
What about as a passenger? You ever get onto one of the big jet aircraft?
I have a daughter that lives in California, in L.A., and have a daughter that lives in Wichita, so we end up flying across the country several times a year.
Must be interesting when you're a pilot yourself and you get on a passenger aircraft, and you're thinking, okay, I know what they're doing now. I know what they're doing now.
My wife gets tired of me telling her, you know, the different things. You know. But the one thing that I've told her that sticks is the most dangerous part of flying is driving to the airport.
That's true. That's true. It is.
It is. It really
is. Statistically, by a long shot, it's the most dangerous thing.
Right. So, yeah. I'm not plugging any airlines. We fly Spirit Airline out to California. My goodness, last fall we had round-trip tickets nonstop both ways for $120 for the round trip, that is. You know?
Wow.
I mean, how can you beat that? Yeah.
I've never flown them. I've heard of that airline.
Yeah, it's a no-frill, but you know what? I'm on an airplane for 5 hours, and all I want you to do is get me there safely. You know, I can entertain myself.
I flew JetBlue for the first time a couple of years ago. They're pretty highly rated, and I certainly had no problem with them.
Right. We got some pilots in this area that fly for JetBlue.
JetBlue.
But you won't see any of those landing at the Butler County Airport.
No.
But you will see some, you'll see a lot of smaller jets landing there.
Corporate jets.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They become more numerous. Not only are there a lot based at the airport, but there are several that stop there on a regular basis.
How many hangars are out there at the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport now?
Oh, I wish I could tell you. What's interesting is two of the original hangars where part of the mega cruise is held were built back in the 20s, and Lindbergh and Amelia Earhart came through there and were in those hangars. I mean, they're still there. They're in great shape. They're used.
Wow.
Now, they've built a lot of new hangars. I can't tell you how many planes, but I'm sure there have got to be well over 100 planes there.
I knew that Amelia Earhart had done some special training here when she was preparing to fly around the world, as a matter of fact. She was getting her plane rigged with special fuel tanks and so here in Butler. I did not know that Lindbergh was here,
though. I believe I remember seeing pictures. He made a brief stop there. There's been a lot of other famous people have come in and out of there over the years.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it has a great history. Butler County's fortunate to have that airport.
That airport was originally designed to be perhaps the gateway airport for Pittsburgh. And things changed. Of course, we're talking, you know, way back when,
right,
in the early history of aviation. And they ended up building what's now Pittsburgh International, which is also out of town, really not too much closer to Pittsburgh than Butler is. I mean, you could easily see how Butler would have been the major hub at one point.
Right. Back in the day, it was one of the major hubs.
Yeah.
I was at Oshkosh 1 year, met a pilot who was like 94 years old at the time, had flown in IFR weather conditions from Maine to Oshkosh. And so we got talking with him, and he was kind of celebrity in his own right. And he says, "Where are you fellows from?" And we said, "Pittsburgh." And he says, "The Allegheny County Airport." He says, "I flew in air. In fact, I crashed air once." And he says, "Is that where you fly?" I said, "No, we fly out of Butler Airport." He says, "Ah, yes." He said, "I crashed air once, too."
Celebrity in his own right, indeed.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, you can visit the Pittsburgh-Butler Regional Airport, because that's the location for the Penn Township Volunteer Fire Department Mega Cruise, and this is a biggie. And once again, Kent, for folks who aren't with us at the start of our conversation, week from tomorrow.
Correct. Week from tomorrow, gates open at 1. Everybody is welcome. If you have a show vehicle, airplane, tractor, motorcycle, rat rod, bring it. If you don't, you just like looking at them, please come, enjoy them. As I said, we do ask for a $2 donation for pedestrians that come in, and that's just to help the fire department out.
Mm-hmm.
So we appreciate everybody that comes, and we hope you have a good time. It's no matter what the weather, there will be other things going on, and there will be great food there, music, so come on over.
And karaoke in the hangar. If you have fun singing in the shower, imagine what it would be like singing in an aircraft hangar.
Yeah, it's not the greatest acoustics, but everybody sounds good. Well, almost everybody.
Kent Shoemaker, good to see you again. Nice to have you
here.
Nice
to be here, Dave.
Yeah. That wraps up our program for the day and for the week. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you Monday, 12:30, for the Monday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Blonde hairdo, surfing USA. You'll catch them surfing at the
inside,
Ventura County line,
inside, outside USA.
Santa Cruz and
Trestle,
inside,
outside USA. Inside, outside USA.
All over Manhattan,
inside, outside USA.
And down Bohini Way,
inside, outside.
Everybody's gone
surfing
USA. We'll all be planning.
Ooh.
We're waxing down our surfboard. We can't wait for June.
Ooh.
We'll all be gone for the summer.
Ooh.
We're on safari to stay.
Ooh.
Tell the teacher we're surfing.
Ooh.
Surfing USA.
Ooh.
And Anchor Bay, San Juan,
inside, outside,
Pacific Palisades.
Inside,